Anyone else? All right, turn your Bible with me to chapter 18, verse 39 of John. John 18:39. What do all this word remind you of? Chicken, faint heart, fraidy cat, gutless, jellyfish, quitter, scaredy cat, weakling, wimp, wuss, and yellow. Okay, the word is coward. I don't think anyone wants to be called a coward. But there was a man who was a coward, and he did cowardly actions that was written in the best-selling book in human history, the Bible. His name is Pontius Pilate. Confucius, the Chinese thinker and the social philosopher of the 5th century BC, said, "To see the right and do and not to do it is cowardness." That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from the British statesman Edmund Burke. He said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And that's exactly what Pontius Pilate did. He did nothing. Before we go into the text of this John, I think we need to know about the quick bio of the Pontius Pilate. That will really help us understand his mental capability at this point. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you encourage us that we may have courage that comes from you. Instead of being withdrawn, instead of being doing the cowardly things because we are afraid what other people might think, but let us think about you all the time. Keep you in our mind that we may do the things boldly without any hindrance. We're asking you to anoint us, the one who hear and the one speak, that we may understand your intention, your truth. And we pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may truly become a born-again Christian. And we pray for the election in this country, whether it's the primary or the Congress or the president, governors, whatever they are, we're asking you to you put the one you appointed into the offices. And we also pray for our troops around the world, and especially the families of the one who got killed in Afghanistan. Comfort them with your comfort and let your peace surround them, Lord. If they do not know you, they may come to know you through this difficult time. And we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, especially the one who attends. And I think of the Pastor Merrill Simon, who often goes out to the wildfire fighting. We're asking you to watch over him and his crew. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the Palestine was a troublesome spot in old time, ancient time, it still is now, and you can never take the eyes off from that region because it's constantly on the news. Rome decided they need a Roman governor within the region so they can control a whole lot better. So the governors started to rule Israel from the AD 6. And by AD 26, the Pontius Pilate arrived in Israel. Pilate lasted until AD 35, and that's when he was sent home. Some says that on the way home he committed suicide. Some says he was killed by another Romans. We don't know. Pilate's reign in Israel didn't start on the right foot. Of course, when he came to Israel, he probably came with the thought that I'm the ruler, you're my subject, I can do whatever I want to do. Which is the wrong way to start the ruling? When he came, he visited Jerusalem, And he came with the Roman flags, Roman banner, and the Roman soldiers marching into the Jerusalem. Now, their banner have an inscription of Roman Emperor Tiberius. His face and image is on the banners. Jewish people they were not comfortable with that idea, because having the image of the emperor in that Jewish temple is not something they like to have. Why? Because Roman people, the emperor was not only the ruler, but they also are a god. And you know you heard the word emperor worship. So having the pagan god into their temple didn't set well with the Jewish people. So Jewish religious ruler asked them, please remove the banners of the U.S. emperor from the temple. Pontius Pilate said, probably he was thinking, I'm the king here. I don't have to follow you. He left Jerusalem and went back to Caesarea, which is along the side of the Mediterranean. That's where his residence was. So he went back, and Jews followed him. For nonstop 5 days and nights, they demonstrated in front of his residence. Pontius Pilate was furious and annoyed by these Jewish people, and he told them, I will meet you at the Empire Theater. And so Jews gathered together within the Empire Theater. And within a short time, he had the Empire Theater surrounded with his soldiers. And he informed the Jewish people, you go back to Jerusalem and stop this demonstration. Otherwise, I will kill all of you on the spot. Much to his amazement, all the Jewish religious rulers bared their neck and said, go ahead, kill us all. Now he stuck. He was stuck there. He thought about killing them, but he realized Tiberius would not like the idea. Killing all the religious rulers and all the VIP in Israel, because he could not get along with them, then only brings a 2 that minus to his record. So what did he do? He backed out. He took all the banners and flags of the Jewish temple. Guess what? Religious rulers had Pilate under their thumb. He was started as a beaten man by the Jewish people. Now the things got worse. He realized there's not enough supply of water in Jerusalem, so he had to build an aqueduct to give a more supply of water in Jerusalem. But he did not have money in his own treasury, so he decided that he's going to rob the temple treasury. Of course, that didn't set well with Jewish people either. So they start to demonstrate on the street, like what we see on TV news, and they were demonstrating, and this time he wanted to do it quietly, so he disguised his own soldiers and sent them out in the street. With a given signal, these soldiers, plainclothes soldiers, strike them and kill them. And that's how he dispersed the riot. The emperor, Tiberius, found out, and he didn't like that idea at all either. So that's a second strike. Later, Pilate eventually made a temporary dwelling place and within the Herod Palace in Jerusalem. Again, he brought the shield within the Herod Temple, which is next to the Jewish Herod Palace, which is next to the Jewish Temple. And again, this shield has Emperor Tiberius' image. Jewish people asked him to take it down. And Pontius Pilate said, last time I took it down, this time I'm not going to. He forgot that Jewish people learned that there is policy, Pax Romana. Pax Romana is kind of our term of open door policy. The subordinate can go over their immediate supervisor's head and go all the way to the emperor. So any subject of the Roman territory can go directly approach the emperor and request audience. That's what the Jewish people did. They sent the word to the Emperor Tiberius, and this is the situation. Pontius Pilate is now working with us. Tiberius already don't like the Pontius Pilate's policies, so he sent the word to the Pilate and told him, take the shields down. Now, he is in really bad situation with the Tiberius and bad situation with the Jewish religious ruler. With that in back of your mind, we will study the verse 39. But you have a custom, Pilate said, I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried out, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. If you read the cross-reference, the Matthew and Mark and Luke, you'll find Barabbas is an interesting character. He's not only a robber, he's an insurrectionist, and he's a murderer. And he is a notorious criminal. So asking Pontius Pilate to release Barabbas instead of Jesus would be kind of, if I make an example, let's say Osama bin Laden is still alive, he's in the Guantanamo Bay with Billy Graham. Okay, just think with me, all right? And you are asking for Osama bin Laden to release instead of Billy Graham. This case is far worse because it's the Son of God. Listen, when the people want to avoid God's truth and His presence in their lives and mind, they would replace Him with anything and anyone, including the one who can kill, who can steal and kill and destroy. When they try to replace God, they will do anything. So keep your finger there and go to this John chapter 10, verse 10, please. Verse 10 says, the thief, this in this case, the satanic thing, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, that is Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Besides, this is a mob mentality. Mob mentality is the most unstable, unignorant, and volatile mindset that goes from the penthouse to outhouse in a heartbeat. What am I talking about? Like a riots happening after the football games and basketball games and soccer games recently in Brazil. And do I need to remind you about the 1992 LA riot? It started with a small thing and it became outrageous. If anyone should be able to say, Jesus died for me, it should be Barabbas. He knew that what is to have a Jesus die on behalf of him, his own life. They are innocent for the guilty one. Verse 1 of chapter 19, please. So then the pirate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, the King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hand. The Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Let's face it, the Pilate is a politician. Like any other power-hungry politician, he is no lack of idea when it comes to squirming his way out from the tight corner. So he's playing the sympathy card this time. The scourge is the leather whip knotted and weighted with a piece of metal at the end of all the bones. And from what I studied, they get hit about 40 times from the both sides. And most likely the pillar they are used is about the ear high. The prisoners are handcuffed like this and the legs are handcuffed. So their back is a hunch, and punisher is from the both sides. They're whipping him, and the whip goes around, and if the guy is hitting from there, and the whip will come around and stuck on the rib cage. And the bones and metal piece will dig into the skin and literally rip the body piece, skins, and the other side too. Majority case, the prisoner does not survive. It pains us to think that the sinless Son of God subject to such cruelty. He was innocent, yet he was treated as a sinful and guilty one because of us. He was slapped before the Annas, and he was spit at and struck in Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. Pilate scourged him, soldiers struck him. Before they led him to the cross, soldiers mocked him and beat him with a rod. How much he suffered for us, and how deeply he loved us. In my opinion, the movie The Passion of the Christ portrayed his suffering during this scourging process correctly. When it was released in 2004, and some of the people who were in our church criticized me for endorsing this movie because there is some off-the-wall theology within this movie. I was not endorsing that off-the-wall theology, but I was endorsing the way they portrayed the scourging and the crucifixion, minus the, of course, it's made by the Mel Gibson, who is a Catholic. Put the nail in here. It never was here. It was here. We'll talk about the thing next week. But it portrayed the suffering of Jesus Christ better than any other movies of Jesus Christ I've ever seen. I want the believers of Jesus Christ to see how much pain our Savior went through for us. Nothing more. If the scourging was not bad enough, the soldiers shoved down the crown of thorn on his head and mocked him and struck him with their hand repeatedly. Why the crown of thorns? Back in Genesis 3:17 through 19, Adam and Eve sin brought the thorn and the thistles into the world. So it was only fitting the Creator, the King of the Kings, wore the crown of thorns as he bore the sins of the world to redeem the condemned souls on the cross. Pilate thought, surely these people will have a sympathy on this man after I beat him up this much. He was mistaken by this cruel crowd. Like a shark who that smelled the blood of the prey, they were encircling around him and demanding immediate crucifixion. The cross involved much more than an exhibition of the innocent suffering. On that cross, the Son of God paid a price for the sins of the world. It solemnly declared the love of God, as well as the holiness, it defends the holiness and justice of God. Somebody had to pay for our sin, so he took our sin. We are not saved by the feeling, by feeling of pity for Jesus, but we are saved by the repenting of our sins and trusting Jesus, the sinless substitute. Some churches don't want to talk about the Jesus suffering. Some churches don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. You take out the blood of Jesus Christ from this Bible, you should chuck this Bible all together. There's nothing to it. If Jesus didn't die for us, We are still sinners, as Apostle Paul said. What audacity the man had denying the blood of Jesus Christ and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Roman soldiers went in such extremes and punishment because without them knowing, satanic forces were behind them and they were having a heyday. Can you just imagine the demons and the Satan glorying over that torture of Jesus Christ? Besides, unsaved men despise the truth of God, and Jesus is that truth. Romans 8:7, please. Get this, guys. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. Just like the soldiers, the 21st century people, those who hate Christianity, would tolerate the word God. They are willing to tolerate the word God. But when it comes to Jesus, the battle line is drawn. They despise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because the mere mention of his name reminds them their own sin and depravity. They hate Jesus because he speaks the truth and with the ungodly passion. Verse 5. Now here the pilot make a fatal panic. Then the Jesus came out, and wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to him, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." If he find no fault in him, why he scourge him from the beginning? Verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when the Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Note that, please, verse 9. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, you couldn't have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sins." You might have seen this painting by the artist Antonio Cesari, entitled as "Ecce Homo." It's a Latin word for the "Behold the man." The pilot was so desperate to get out of this political jam that he even gave the Jewish people, the Jewish religious rulers, the permission to crucify Jesus Christ, but Jews didn't want that blood on their own hands. The Romans and the Greek has a very numerous myth about the God coming to earth as man. So it's likely that Pilate was thinking, this could be one of those gods came down to earth, and he's thinking, the way he looked at it, Jesus Christ, the way he said and the demeanor, he was not an average criminal. And then in the back of his mind is thinking, "Oh, brother, I just have my soldier to beat up the Son of God. I'm in deep doo-doo." To make the matter worse, his wife sent this message to him. And because he had a strange dream, she said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." The wives can't do that kind of thing very well, right? That Pilate was thinking, "Woman, you are not helping me here." See, the guys have to admit that. The women, especially wives, know how to make that thing a little more exciting, more deeper, right, guys? with, of course, with the exception of my wife. Beep, 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 beep. Why did Jesus not answer Pilate's question in verse 9? Because he already answered it. It was a basic spiritual principle that God does not reveal the new truth or new instruction to us if we fail to act on the truth we already know. When God told us to do something and we ignore it and not do it, and he will not tell us the next step. Besides, Pilate already made it clear that he was not personally interested in the truth, spiritual truth. Remember the conversation with Jesus Christ last time? He asked, what is the truth? And then what did he do? He walked away. He was not looking for the truth. He just said it and walked away. All he was concerned about is maintaining peace in Jerusalem and getting out of this hot potato. Fear and anger often go together. When we are afraid, we are weak. And we go to the other extreme and try to appear strong. That's what Pilate did exactly. And he reminded Jesus of his Roman authority. But his statement did not demonstrate his power, but only the weakness. If he really had the authority to crucify him or release him, and he believed that there's no fault in him, then he should have released him with the power he has, with the authority he has. But he didn't, because he was scared of the Jewish religious rulers. And he was scared of Tiberius. Somehow you might get the idea that I'm against all the politicians. No, I'm not. There are some good politicians who live with the integrity and biblical core value. The one whom I'm thinking about is probably, you might say, well, isn't that an endorsement? Well, it's okay. But he doesn't live in our district, so he lives in Florida. Congressman Alan West. Seems like he's a solid man. Too bad he's not running for the president. I would have voted for him. Verse 11. Verse 11 shows, go back to the verse 11, please. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin. I find three very important points from this statement. Number one, the power of authority is granted by the Lord. The power of authority is granted by the Lord. Is that including President Obama? Yes. Do I like it? No. Do I have a choice? No. Do I have to pray for him? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. Second point, Jesus was in charge and in complete control of the whole situation. Number three, there are different degrees of sins and punishment in hell for those who reject Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord. Pontius Pilate was ignorant. Jewish religious ruler knew the scripture. They have a less excuse. Let me put this in your term. Okay? Hear me well. Stay awake. If you are not a born-again Christian, by end of this service, you will hear clear gospel presentation. And you walk away from here, you'll be in worse situation than before. Why? Because you heard the gospel and you reject the gospel that is worse than not knowing at all. You with me on that? And you Christians, if you're a born-again Christian, you heard the word of God time after time after time, and if you are not doing it, it's just getting worse for you. It's better for you to follow the word of God and do it than heard about it and not do it. Go down to verse 12, please. Now he's making a final pronouncement. From then on, the Pilate, they sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not the Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When the Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought the Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover. About 6 hours, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest, get this guy, chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." This is guys, these are the same people who are willing to die because they don't want to worship the pagan god at the beginning of Pilate's reign. They are willing to stick their neck out literally now. They're saying that there's no other god but Caesar. Can you imagine what went through the Pilate's mind? Verse 16, then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. If you, most likely you will come across somebody who read the Bible and say, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. And you may say, well, show it to me. And they might even show this portion. And you might show, they might show you the book of Mark in the same portion, same as this area, cross-reference area. In the Mark, it says the third hour. And in here, it's the 6 hours. John was using Roman time, 6 hours, which means 6 o'clock in the morning. And Mark was using third hour, that which is 9 o'clock for the time of crucifixion. So that was a Jewish time. There's a difference. Just in case somebody bring that as a contradiction in the Bible, it is not a contradiction. Pilate was the proverbial horn of the dilemma, and he could not afford another revolt in Israel. And Rome would eliminate him because he knew the character of Tiberius. He would lob up his head quickly. So Pilate had two choices, either save his soul or save his neck. There's something vague about the one soul because you cannot see it. But there's nothing vague about that person's neck. Right? So then it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Chances are the person will do just about anything to save his own neck rather than his eternal soul. Wrong decision. You might sit here thinking that, well, I'm here in the church, so God's got to give me some brownie point. There is no brownie point chart when you go to heaven. I guarantee you that. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? In other words, what good is it if you have everything but you don't have Jesus in your heart? Nothing. When Israel asked to have a king, God gave them Saul. And they reject God the Father. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Jewish religious ruler asked for Barabbas, they rejected God the Son. Today, Israel and many people around the world are rejecting the pleading of the God, the Holy Spirit, to repent and to turn their heart to Jesus. You have here exactly what every man has to face. This is the ultimate decision about what to do with Jesus Christ. Pilate cowardly tried to do everything to get rid of Jesus Christ, and he could not get rid of him. God forced him to make a decision. himself, so he does he to every person. You cannot ride on somebody's coattail to heaven. You make your own decision for your own salvation. Two applications. Number one, receiving Jesus Christ as one's Savior and Lord is not a cowardly thing. As a matter of fact, it's the most courageous thing any person can do against the cynicism of the world toward Christianity. Do you agree? Second application, God does not reveal the new truth, or you might want to put another word, instruction, to us if we fail to act on the truth we already know. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You are the truth, you are the life, and you are the way. There's no other way to get to heaven other than you. And thank you for your encouragement that we may have a courage in this dying and decaying world. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.